What's going on, sports fans? Welcome back to the Matt and Alex Show. Happy 4th of July weekend. We hope that you had a fantastic, fun-filled 4th of July weekend with all your friends and family. I hope everybody was safe. But for today, we are talking NFC North. We have the Vikings with Lewis, Alex's kid son, five-year-old son, comes on, talks his favorite Minnesota Vikings. We talk Green Bay Packers, we have the Chicago Bears, and we ended with the Detroit Lions. We give a little general impression on how we feel all those teams in the division are going to do. We give some fantasy studs, some sleepers, if they even have any, and give a prediction on how they're going to do in the division, just as we've done in all of our divisional previews. So here we go. Again, we hope you had a great 4th of July weekend, but for today, let's get this thing started. Let's go.
Welcome to the Matt and Alex Show. Beat the odds and show your bookie who's boss.
Vikings, Packers, Bears, Lions. We are to the NFC North, and we are starting with the Minnesota Vikings. Welcome back to the Matt and Alex Show. Thanks for tuning in. Today we have Lewis in, that is Alex's five-year-old son. He wants to talk about his beloved Minnesota Vikings, and then later on Alex and I hash out the Packers, Bears, and the Lions in no specific order. Let's get right into it. How you doing, Alex?
I'm doing excellent, Maddie. How you doing? What's up, Lewis? You in there?
Yeah.
All right. So we got Lewis, we got Alex, and we are ready to go. And like I said, we're going to start with the Vikings. So this first question is to the Vikings guru, Lewis Ramirez. Are you ready, Lewis?
Yes.
Okay. I can't wait. This is going to be amazing. All right. So it's been a long time since we've got to see your Minnesota Vikings in action, right? In fact, mm-hmm. The last time that you got to see them, they lost to my 49ers, and I was actually at the game.
Sore subject.
Sorry about that.
I want payback this year, Matt.
All right. Lewis says he wants payback. You're a man. I love it. Okay. So what do you think is going to happen this year with your Minnesota Vikings? What do you think it's going to be a good year for them, a bad year? What do you think, bud?
I think it's going to be a good year, and they're going to beat the San Francisco 49ers in the playoffs.
Oh, okay. Hey, I like one thing, that you've got my Niners already going to the playoffs. I really like that. That's awesome. But for them to beat them, I don't know. It's going to be a good rematch if they make it to that far. So that'll be fun. Anybody in particular that you want to see on your team play well?
I want to see Kirk Cousins have a better year today.
Yeah, this year.
And you think want to see him not throw any interceptions.
Oh, zero.
That's
I
a
like
tough
it.
Bar for Kirk.
that very much so is, yeah. Kirk Cousins, he's got to have a good year this year. I think that he will, bud. I think that the Vikings are kind of rolling. I think they're going to come off their good year last year, and they're going to continue to roll, right? Is that your impression of next year? You think that that's what they're going to do? They're going to be good?
Yeah.
All right. So if you had a fantasy football team with your dad, let's say, and you wanted to tell all of our listeners out there who your stud is, who's your best player on your team?
My best player on my team is Dalvin Cooks, probably.
I think that's a good pick.
Why are you picking Dalvin Cook when I know you got a Adam Thielen jersey on right now?
I don't have one on, but I'm thinking Dalvin Cook because I just think Kirk Cousins hands off to him a lot, and I don't think he throws much.
Okay.
That's how you're calculating all those wins, huh? Because if Kirk Cousins throws a lot, they're probably not going to win too much. So yeah. If they're going to the playoffs, they better hand the ball to Cook.
Yes.
I like it, Lewis. I like it. I got a little bit of a different answer, though. I think Adam Thielen's going to come into his own again this year. He had a little bit of a down year with injuries last year. But with Stephon Diggs on his way out to Buffalo, that opens up the wide receiver one spot. And even though Thielen has mostly played out of the slot, their rookie, Justin Jefferson, is a big slot receiver as well. I think that's going to give a ton of looks to Adam Thielen, and I think he's going to pop and he's going to be a fantasy stud. I'm thinking like top 5-6 wide receiver in the league. And I think Minnesota is going to keep rolling in this division.
Very cool. I'm going with Lewis. I think Dalvin, I mean, he's just a stud overall. Everybody's got him pretty much top 5 going off the board all around for fantasy this year. And I think Lewis nailed it. I think he hands the ball off to Dalvin a lot this year, and he runs over some defenses. So we'll have to see.
I agree with that take as well. I think you guys are solid with Cook. I think Cook is going to be a great player. You're not going wrong with him. I think he's probably a top 5 backs. Probably sounds right. I'm not even thinking fantasy. I'm just talking backs in the league right now. The holdout is a little bit concerning because guys in their holdout years usually take a little bit longer to get started than usual. Right. So I just think Thielen is going to have that bounce back value for you. And I think he's going to be a top wide receiver. But it sounds like the three of us agree that they have two studs on this fantasy roster, which says something with Kirk Cousins. Last thing I'll say on Kirk Cousins, I wouldn't draft him in fantasy or anything unless he's your backup. However, he is a regular season quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, this dude has shown a propensity in games that are not big games to do really, really well. So I think this year is going to be another example of that. Now, can he handle it in the playoffs like Lewis is talking about against your Niners? I don't know. He has not shown us the ability to rise to the big game occasion, but he has shown the ability to have comebacks. He has shown the ability to stick it in people's faces, right?
Anyways, moving on. Okay. Lewis, this one's back to you, pal. A fantasy sleeper, somebody that you think that's waiting in the wings somewhere that nobody really knows about. Is there like do you have a favorite player that not a lot of people might know about that might do well in fantasy or might do well in the season next year?
I like O. Smith because I like Alabama in college football and I like Minnesota.
All right.
So I think he's going to do good this year.
Okay. Herb Smith, huh? Mm-hmm. Wow, I didn't have him on my radar. So now I've got something to think about. I like it.
Full disclosure, when Lewis and I were doing a little research to figure out a fantasy sleeper, he's the one who picked out Irv Smith. And he's like, Irv Smith, maybe Kyle Rudolph has a little bit of a down year. And the more I looked into it myself, so I would know what I was talking about, Irv Smith split some catches and some routes with Rudolph last year. Rudolph's been around kind of a while. And I don't think Lewis is totally wrong there. Irv Smith is a super athletic tight end out of Alabama. He's going into his second year this year, and if they keep giving him bigger shares of the offense, he might be Kirk Cousins' safety blanket, especially in an offense that just lost Stephon Diggs and their best wide receivers coming off a year of injuries. Might be not too bad of a pick there, Lewis.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've always been a Kyle Rudolph guy. Ivan Young, Justin Young's dad, who's a friend of the podcast,
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
He likes to call me Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer because I always had Kyle Rudolph when he did really well a couple of years ago. And he had flashes. It's funny. As soon as you count Kyle Rudolph out and he's on your waiver wire or your free agency list, you know, everybody's dying to pick him up after he scores a touchdown or two and he, you know, catches for 100 yards. So I don't know. He kind of has flash. He's a tough one to pick. I mean, I think he's tight end 25, 26 area. So if Irv Smith could come in and be the guy you're talking about, I think that he could do well.
So who's your sleeper, Manny?
I went with Justin Jefferson, the new guy. So like you said, you know, Thielen coming off an injury, Justin Jefferson, I believe came from LSU. I think he's at LSU, right?
6'3" out of LSU.
Yeah. Yeah. A second rounder, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And so he could come in big back, and do real well. He's slotted to do well. And so, I'll be watching out for him this year. Anybody different there, Alex?
No, I want Jefferson as well. I think, I'm hesitant to pick wide receivers in their rookie year, like I've told you guys in the last few previews, but this is a little bit different because Diggs is out of the way. So if Thielen's going to be your wide receiver one, there's got to be a wide receiver two. And when you look at that depth chart, it's wide open for Jefferson to take the job. I mean, unless he just absolutely chokes in preseason and in training camp, this dude's going to be your wide receiver two. He's going to line up in the slot. Thielen's probably going to get a little bit more outside. And if they do that, that's going to be a lot of looks coming his way. So you're going to get more volume than you would normally get for a rookie wide receiver. So that rookie wide receiver, Justin Jefferson, 6'3" out of LSU. He's got some good size. He's got some good hands. He comes in highly touted. Kirk Cousins, like we said, is a, is, or like I said, is a, regular season quarterback. So I actually think you're going to get some production that people probably aren't expecting out of a rookie. So I'm going with you, Maddie, Justin Jefferson.
Nice. Very good. So that's a couple of sleepers, a couple of studs. What else we got here? So
next up, the calendar.
Yeah, we're looking to schedule. Any games that you're looking forward to, Lewis?
I'm looking forward to the Niners against the Vikings in the playoffs.
I love it.
In the playoffs, huh? Because they don't play them this season. They're not scheduled to play. So you're thinking they're going to play each other in the postseason, huh? Mm-hmm. Why are you so excited for that game?
Because my uncles like the San Francisco 49ers, and they always ignore me about it. So I want to ignore them about it.
You want to ignore them or you want to tease them?
Tease them.
Tease them?
Nice.
Yeah, you got to get that. Awesome. You got to get that smack talk. You got to get that smack talk going with your uncles.
Yeah. I mean, I might have to change mine to what Lewis is saying, just because, you know, who doesn't want a rematch? And I would love to see that match as well. I'll go with the Vikings. I don't know what week it is. I think it's I think it's week 4 against the Texans, at Texans. And so the reason I say that is because that's going to be a closer game. It's out of their division. It's a big win for them because, like we're going to talk about in a second here, we have them, I think, at 9 wins in Vegas. I have them right at 9. And so if they can win a teeter game like that, that'll put them at 10. I think that that's going to be an exciting one to watch. As far as divisional, oh boy, you can kind of go back and forth. Packers and Vikings kind of both coming off a good season. The Packers actually obviously had a better season, I don't know who wins this division. This is going to be a tough one. My heart says Packers, although this division, I don't know. I think it's like the last 4 years, they haven't been able to defend their title, their division title, whatever team has won over the last 4 years. So that would mean that the Vikings would win this year. So I don't know. That's where I'm going with the Texans game. I'll be watching out for that one. Anything, Alex?
Yeah, I'm going to go week 7 at Green Bay. I think Minnesota and Green Bay are a lock to be at the top of this division. Like, I think the whole world agrees. So I think that if they can pull off the win at Green Bay and sweep the series in week 7, then the sky's the limit for these Vikings. I think they have talent at every single position. Like I've said multiple times, I'm not sure about Kirk Cousins under the lights. I'm not sure about him in a playoff game or a championship setting, but I think Dalvin Cook is no joke. I think Adam Thielen is talented. They have two wide receivers, like we talked about. The offense is locked and loaded, man. The defense is as strong as it's been over these last few years, which is why they're always competitive. And you have a really well-coached team as well with Mike Zimmer. So you put all that stuff together, and I think this team is a guaranteed playoff team. Wild card is the floor, and I think a one seed is probably the ceiling. So if they're going to get that one seed, they're going to have to beat the Packers at the Packers, I think. So I'm looking out for week 7. If they get that midseason win in Green Bay and they go into Lambeau and take down their division rivals, then I think this team could be looking at like a 14-2 type situation. I actually have them at 12-4, but I think it's going to hinge on, are they going to be just another wild card contender, or are they going to be a contender for the Super Bowl? And I think we're going to figure that out in week 7. So look out for week 7, that divisional matchup versus Green Bay. And if Green Bay can get them, then I think it's going to be a race to the wire, like Matt said, with these two teams. So that week is going to be the pivotal week.
Wow. You have the Vikings at 12-4?
I do. I look at the schedule and I don't see a ton of losses. I see a weak division. We're going to talk later about the Bears and the Lions. I think those are easy wins. I think the Vikings and Packers split. I think that the non-division games, the Vikings get the tougher teams at home, and their road games are a little bit easier. So, yeah, I do.
Okay. Yeah, I have them right around 10 wins. So I was going to go over. I wasn't going to, you know, like 9, 10 wins. I'm definitely not going 8. So I'm definitely going to go over. I'll give them the 10. And then, like I said, you know, if they can beat the Texans and teeter over the wall on that side of it, then I think that they go above. So
I haven't beating the Texans just because the Texans took a step back. I mean, Bill Bradley is still there and he's a mess. I love Deshaun Watson, but he can only carry so much on his own. And to get rid of DeAndre Hopkins was a negative. I think that thing could implode. It's going to be, it's the question for the Texans is going to be, how much can Deshaun Watson carry by himself?
Yeah.
And the Vikings, I think, are pretty well-rounded. So I've got them winning that game, Maddie.
Okay. Hey, dude, I like it. That's a great take. I mean, take what he just said as gospel, in my opinion. I think he nailed it. They're going to be a great team. It's going to be a fun division to watch. You know, you got obviously the Vikings and the Packers are the favorites to be at the top of the division. And then the Bears and the Lions. I mean, we're going to talk about this later, but you know, the Bears have done well in the offseason, and the Lions, this is like Matt Patricia is like do or die for him this year. So it'll be fun to watch. It's funny doing all this research on these different divisions, you know, you kind of find all the positives. You're like, man, they did this and they did this. And then of course, you know, there's always those teams that let you down in the season. And that's just the way it goes. But, I'm excited about the NFC North. So, but continuing on, anything else that we didn't cover, Lewis, is there anything else that you want to say about your amazing Minnesota Viking team?
Yes. I want to say that I think they're going to be really good this year and beat somebody in the Super Bowl.
Oh, Super Bowl. We got a Super Bowl champion?
You've heard it here. The Minnesota Vikings are going to the Super Bowl.
Hey, all my audience out there, everybody listening in the world, I'm going to make a promise to Lewis right now. If they make the Super Bowl and if the Super Bowl is actually allowed to have fans, you know, because of coronavirus, you and me are going, Lewis. Let's do this. We're going to have a Super Bowl trip this February.
Holy moly.
But the Vikings got to make it.
What do you think about that, Lewis?
Good.
He's speechless.
He's speechless. That's awesome. All right. Very cool. That's going to be fun to watch. And let's move on. The next team that we're going to conquer here, Alex, is the Packers. Are you ready? All right.
Yeah. Let's say goodbye to Lewis real quick. Take care, bud. Thanks for coming on, my boy.
Okay, go Vikings!
Happy 4th of July, go Vikings!
Okay, so we just wrapped up with the Minnesota Vikings and your young little boy, Lewis. So he had some good takes. And on to the Green Bay Packers, the 2019 NFC North champions. How are they going to do this year, Alex? So I found out something kind of funny. So obviously the Packers kind of owned, you know, the NFC North between like 2011 to like 2014. So that was like 5 years right there. And then of course they've been like squirting in and out, in previous years, but the past like 4 to 5 years, the NFC North champions have all failed to retain their title the following season. So it kind of went Green Bay, Minnesota, Green Bay. And then the Bears won in 18 and then back to the Packers this year. And so kind of a lot of people are saying that, you know, are they going to be able to retain, and kind of create that dynasty they had in the middle of the 2010s, again. And so that's kind of where we're at. And, but this season, I think it can happen. The Packers are a beast in their own division. And, I remember last year they won every single divisional game that they played. So all in division games, they just wrecked havoc. They basically, you know, they won out. And they might do that again this year because I think the Vikings and the Bears have gotten better, but Matt Patricia has a do or die season in Detroit, but I don't know. I think the Packers might be able to do it. What's your impression going into next year for the Packers?
I think it's a little too early to tell, obviously, because it's July 6th or whatever. But
yeah,
I think the coaching difference is gonna play a little bit here. I think the Vikings have a little bit of an edge with the crazy offseason. Having a new coach in Green Bay is going to cause them to struggle a little bit out of the gate because you don't have your OTAs and you don't have your preseason exactly smooth, and they're canceling preseason games and all that stuff. And that's all good and well. Obviously they'll catch up. But I think the key to my Packers view this year is two things. One, I don't think they can catch the Vikings for the reasons that I just said. I think the Vikings are going to edge them out this year. But the Packers will be their true competition. And the reason they're going to be their true competition is because even though I've been hard on Aaron Rodgers for a decade, reports of his demise have been greatly exaggerated. People have him as like the 10th to 15th quarterback, if not worse, at some places. And I think that's absurd. I think he's going to have a bounce back season this year. And I don't know if he's going to have an elite QB fantasy season. But to jump into question two here, Matt, with our stud, I'm going to go ahead and pick Aaron Rodgers as the stud on this team for two reasons. One reason, there's lack of options. I think there's a ton of offensive talent on this squad, although we'll talk about their running backs and some strength of a stable there. But from a fantasy perspective, you've got Devontae Adams, who I don't really want to make my number one. So I'm going to tell people out there, go for Rodgers this year. Don't draft him too high because you won't need to. No one's coming after him. But when you get him, you're going to be able to plug him in every single week, because I think this year he's going to have a deceptively good year. I think the improved running game last year is going to roll over into better looks this year for him. I think his percentages will be higher. And if you're in a touchdown dependent league, he's definitely going to help you, because I think Rodgers is going to have something to prove this year. And then if you add in the fact that they just possibly drafted his replacement, like, Rodgers is going to be as fired up as ever to tell them, like, I'm not dead yet.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say too. I mean, with Jordan Love in there, that could fire a spark, you know. But I mean, come on, he didn't have that bad of a year last year, right? I mean, they were 13-3 last year. I mean, that's pretty respectable. I mean, that's way more than actually just respectable. But I mean, threw for over 4,000 yards. And I mean, I think like over 25 touchdowns. I mean, the guy's insane. And the biggest thing about Rodgers, because he's my stud too, Alex. And the big thing about Rodgers is he's so disciplined and he's so smart. He does not throw interceptions. I mean, the guy has like less than five. That was a few years ago that he went up to like 7 or 8, but just a few interceptions last year and a few the year before that. I mean, he's just so smart and so disciplined that that's what really makes Aaron Rodgers so good. But I mean, threw for over 4,000 yards, 24 touchdowns. I mean, the guy's he's amazing. And I just think that he is just so good that he's just a great playmaker and a great leader. And I think, yeah, you kind of nailed it with, that his possible replacement is below him now, and he is the ultimate competitor. I mean, that guy, if you just watch him throughout the game, he's all about competition. And I think that you're right. I think he is going to be a good value in drafts this year because of what you're saying is the ADP. And I don't even know what, I guess I can look it up as we're speaking here, but I said the same exact thing when I wrote down. I said may not still be at elite levels, but pretty gosh darn close. And so we'll have to see what happens. But
have you ever taken a turnaround trip to Las Vegas?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so my latest turnaround trip a few years ago was with my shout out to my brother-in-law Scott and brother-in-law Gustavo, who's been on the pod. We took a turnaround trip 1 year. I think it was for an NFL playoff game. I can't remember what it was, but no one was going to Vegas anytime soon. And we wanted some action. So we got in the car at like 10 o'clock at night, and we showed up to Vegas, and we roll into the South Point at 2 a.m. We put in our bets for the next day's football games or next weekend's football games or whatever it was a couple days later. And then we gambled until like 4, 5, 6 a.m, something like that. And then we got back in the car and cruised home. Now, first of all, I don't recommend that if you're over 25 years old, because good God, was that exhausting. 8 hours of driving and 5 hours in a casino is not a good 13 hours. However, I learned a really important lesson on that trip. And this is the lesson. Everybody sent money with us and everybody liked the same team. That bet lost. Whenever everybody's on the same thing, that is your red flag to go the other way. And I'm not saying just be contrarian. I'm just saying when there's too many voices going in the same direction, expect like the pitfall is coming. You're about to step in some shit.
Right.
And I think Aaron Rodgers has been a perfect example of that. Like, people have been claiming that this dude is the greatest of all time, and they still do. I'm not sure how when he only has one Super Bowl, but people claim that he's the greatest ever, and then your expectations are too high and he lets you down, I think. And now I think exactly the opposite. I think the expectations are really low, and I think everybody's kind of piling on. And because of that reason alone, I think that my lesson from my turnaround trip is whenever everybody's saying something, go the other way. So the other way with Rodgers is go ahead and draft him. Go ahead and swoop him up in the 6th, 7th round or wherever it is in your draft strategy that you can get him for good value, because this dude is going to put up numbers this year, and it's just a gut feeling. I know he had a down year last year, not by wins and losses, but by fantasy perspective. I think the fantasy numbers bounce back. I think you're right about the Packers. I love your thoughts on it, Matt. I just think they're going to come just shy of the Vikings. I've actually got them at about 10-6 and fighting for one of those wild card spots. And if you remember this year, they've changed the playoff format to add another wild card team. So I think the Packers have a good shot at being one of those top 7.
Yeah, and if you give them the shot in that game, you've got Aaron Rodgers, right? You know, so it's like he's a competitor, and he's going to try to make it happen. Absolutely. One other little take that I have is this is Matt LaFleur's second year with Green Bay, and take it for what it's worth. but look what he did with Matt Ryan in his second year in Atlanta, made him MVP of the league. So not saying, you know, I mean, obviously we already know that Rodgers is MVP elite caliber, but, you know, just to kind of add to it, last year we went 13-3 with the new coach, and now all of a sudden you got a second year more, you know, coming off the Mike McCarthy days. And so now being a little bit more comfortable with the LaFleur team, who knows what the sky is the limit for Aaron Rodgers. And I did look it up. Yeah, he's like right around like 15, I guess, in the ADP, so... or 15th quarterback off the board. So
yeah, normally year two
value, good value.
Yeah, normally year two of a quarterback and coach combination is a really good thing. And I think you're right, Matt, in the second half of the season. But when we're talking about wins and losses, I think this screwed up offseason is actually going to stunt them a little bit. So by the end of the year, I agree. And fantasy wise, I definitely agree. But wins, loss, and the division wise, I think it's going to give Minnesota just the edge it needs to run away with this thing. And I think it'll be close, but I got the Vikings winning the division. What else you got for these guys? We're heading to sleepers.
Yeah. I think we might, I don't know. Like there's something that tells me in my gut that you and I might have the same sleeper.
Okay. You go first.
My sleeper. I have Alan Lazard.
No, we do not, sir.
I did that awkward, like I threw it to you and you didn't know that I was going to throw it to you.
I did not. I was taking a chance to take a
And the only reason I say that, and I still think that Davante Adams is going to be number one, but I think that Lazard can kick some ass. I think that, you know, that if they start doubling Davante, I think that Alan Lazard can come into his own this year and do really well for the Packers. That's all I got for him. But and because that's all I know, so I'm not going to speak to any more. But I think that Alan Lazard is going to show some good value in drafts for this year. Who do you have?
Yeah, I like that take. I mean, that was similar to earlier today with the Lewis on the Justin Jefferson take that I had, right? Like someone's got to get those second looks after Thielen. So yeah. In this case, someone's got to get those second looks after Davante Adams. I actually went a different route. I think that anybody who's looking to grab some value out of a Packer late in later rounds, I'm taking any running back on this team. So Adam Jones had a great year and he went high in drafts and all that stuff. And he produced a bunch of touchdowns. And if you can get him, that's great, but that's no sleeper or anything. But last year I went with Jamal Williams off the waiver wire later in the year. And although he dealt with a couple injuries, he really produced for me. So like there were a lot of big games where Jamal Williams, when you throw him in there as your flex, like he gets a lot of looks in the passing game. And when he was given more looks, whenever Jones was out or whenever Jones was struggling, which wasn't very often, Jamal Williams really put up big numbers. So here's a couple fantasy numbers for you. And you know I'm not a big stat guy, but in fantasy, stats are king. He averaged 4.3 yards per carry last year as the second back with only one touchdown because he didn't get any of the goal line work. But he had 39 catches, averaging 6.5 yards a catch in 2019 with five touchdowns out of the passing game. So I get that A.J. Dillon out of Boston College was drafted, and I think if you can get him, he might blow up. You might have a committee approach here, but either A.J. Dillon or Jamal Williams, really any running back you can pull off this team is going to have some sleeper value. Now, stud value, they're not in the stud conversation, not even Jones, because we just don't know. Like there's too many backs in that backfield to trust one of them to carry you. But if you're looking for flex value, go to Green Bay, because whichever one you plug in on any given week is going to be able to pop because of that catching ability for Williams, because the young stud ability from Dillon and from Adam Jones's great year last year. So take your pick of the running backs, and that's what I think you do. Whoever's sitting there in round 8, 9, 10, swoop them up.
Yeah. And if what we're saying about, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, for this year coming up is true, it could really run a good game script for the runners, you know, and they could be scoring a lot of points. And so and then they're just going to want to try to kill the clock. And therefore, you know, Adam Jones and company are going to rack up a ton of touches. And so very good take, you know, there on the backfield there for Green Bay. I like it. I'm actually going to write that down so that I can remember when I go up against you in the draft this year that I could steal some of your cheese. How about
Damn
that?
Damn it. I knew this podcast would be the end of my fantasy football dominance. Now everybody knows what I'm doing. Jesus. I'm about to give fake takes out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right?
It was Maddie, so funny when Gus came on. Oh, go ahead, Gus.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say it was funny when Gus came on, you know, with us that he was like, you know, giving us, you know, total Swiss cheese, a bunch of holes in his stories because he doesn't want to give us anything for fantasy.
Because we're the competition, so, man.
Yeah, well, I think that the podcast is a little more important than our competition.
We'll see.
I guess that's for you and I.
Well, let's see how bad I do in fantasy. If everybody starts selling all my strategies and kicks my ass, then I don't know, man. I might have to hold it closer to the chest. But for now, you guys can have the wisdom for free.
Yeah. Schedule-wise, bro, what do I see? So since I kind of brought up that stat from before about them going, they basically won out in the division. I'm looking forward to all those division games. Can they do that again? So I know that they know they did that, you know, and that's like something in the back of their minds. You know, I know that they always play to win, but those division games are always fun in any division that are playing. But I'll be looking for all the in-division games for the Packers this year. Obviously they're playing the 49ers, and that's going to be a good rematch for the NFC conference title game. And so that'll be a really fun game to watch for me, and it's at Levi Stadium. So that might be a fun one for me to get up to. It looks like it's on November 5th. So I might have to get my plane flight ready and tell my dad to clear out a room for me. So that would be a lot of fun. That's what I'm looking forward to. Anything in particular in the schedule coming up for the Packers that you're looking forward to?
Well, yeah, my Vikings pick was week 7 with Green Bay, because I think that's going to be the determinant of whether we're going to have a neck and neck race to the end. And I think if the Vikings can win that one at Green Bay, they're going to run away with it. But that's not what I'm going for from a Green Bay perspective. From a Green Bay perspective, I think they're going to fall behind the Vikings. And I think the key date is going to be the Eagles in week 13 in early December, because early December game, you're not at home in Lambeau where they have a huge advantage in the cold. They're at the Eagles, which is also an outdoor stadium. And I think both those teams are going to be like fighting for that wild card, that division. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be a lot on the line in that game. And I think that's the game that you're going to have a lot riding on it and a lot of pressure and a lot of energy going into that game. I think the Eagles are going to be neck and neck with the Cowboys. And like I told you a couple weeks ago, I think they squeaked that one out. And I think the Packers are going to be chasing the Vikings. So that's going to be a really, really pivotal game when it comes to playoff seeding. And that's what I'm looking forward to, is the Packers in week 13 against the Eagles.
Cool. I think overall, what's the over-under we got in Vegas for these boys?
9 wins is what we got them out right now in Vegas Insider.
Yeah, 9 wins. I'm going over. You know, I think that they're going to back up their 13-win season next year, and I think that they're going to – or this upcoming season, I should say. And I think they win the division. I think it's going to be close. Like you said, you know, the Vikings are only getting better. But to go back again, and not to beat a dead horse, but I think Aaron Rodgers throws this team on his back and is like, let's freaking go, because he loves to those doubters, those haters, his critics that talk crap on him. He loves to show them that he is still a force to reckon, reckoned with in the league. So, I think that he makes it happen. And so they've got a great running backs. They've got Davante Adams. Hopefully Lazard, like I said, is a sleeper on their team. He can do well. They're going to score a lot of points. And here we go, Packers. I'm going over. I'd say at least 10 wins for sure. I'm thinking 11 or 12. And they do have a pretty tough schedule, but I'm still going there, because I think that they're gonna get some momentum early. Their very first game is against the Vikings in Vikings. If they can win that game, they're going to roll.
Yeah, I think the same when it comes to the outcome, but I think the opposite in terms of the schedule. I think they're going to struggle out of the gate, and then I think they're going to climb back into it. I got them at 10-6. Their schedule is really, really difficult. I agree with all takes on Rodgers. I think he's going to find a way. I think they're going to be in that playoff mix, and who knows what the hell's going to happen in the playoffs, because I think they're destined to be there. I do have the Vikings just ahead of them, but I got Packers at 10-6.
All right. Very good. That's the Green Bay Packers over there, those big cheeseheads. So that's our first two teams. We talked about the Minnesota Vikings, now the Green Bay Packers. Let's go ahead and pause for a moment in order to talk about some of our favorite products. Today is a great day to start your own podcast. Whether you're looking for a new marketing channel, have a message you want to share with the world, or you just think it'd be fun to have your own talk show, podcasting is an easy, inexpensive, and fun way to expand your reach online. To start your own podcast and get a $20 Amazon gift card, follow the link in the show notes. This lets Buzzsprout know that we sent you, and it helps support our show. Buzzsprout, the easiest way to start a podcast. Are you looking for some new soccer gear? Well, Look no further. Soccer Garage has everything you need and more. Visit Soccer Garage in San Juan Capistrano or soccergarage.com for all your footballing needs. Soccer Garage takes pride in their reputation for unmatched customer satisfaction. Their friendly and knowledgeable employees are all active soccer players and/or coaches dedicated to answering questions and serving the soccer supply needs of their customers. Visit soccergarage.com for all your soccer needs. Moving on. We are doing the NFC North, and we are now at the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears, with an 8-8, a .500 record last year, how are they going to do this year? What is your impression of next year for the Chicago Bears, Alex?
Oh, man. I mean, what can I say? I've never been a Bears fan. I think they're best when their defenses are strong. They've kind of gone away from that in the last few years. They're trying to become an offensive QB identity type thing with Trubisky. They don't believe in Trubisky anymore. They're bringing in Nick Foles. Like, I think this is a hot mess. I don't think it's going to go well. I personally got to go with Foles because I think Foles is just a better quarterback. But let's start with Foles, okay? I'm going into my sleeper column here. And spoiler alert, I'm not going to give you a sleeper because there is no sleeper on this team. Stay away from this team. No matter how much you feel like you want to grab a bear, don't do it. Just don't do it. Like, stay away from the Bears altogether when it comes to sleepers. Like, if you're not getting crazy value on one of their stars, and there's very, very, very few stars, and by very few, I mean one, you should stay away altogether. I think Nick Foles would be a good pickup in like a 3 or 4 team quarterback league. But other than that, don't do it. I don't think Trubisky is worth anything. I know you're a fan of Trubisky, but I think Foles just happens to be better. But here's where I worry about Foles. He hasn't played double-digit games since 2015. So he's in the single digits in games started since 2015. And in 2015, he was back with the Rams. Who remembers that? Nobody. Nobody, because he wasn't any good. So although he had that the great moments with the Eagles, and although he does have some arm talent, you know what I mean, and he can do some things, the dude is not a starting quarterback in the league. That was proven last year when he couldn't beat out a rookie in Jacksonville. I know he's got some injuries. I don't think he's garbage or anything. Like, don't get me wrong. But from a fantasy perspective, he's just not relevant. It's too variable at a quarterback position when there's so many good quarterbacks fantasy-wise that you can grab. And I don't mean to sound like a hypocrite. I was just saying last week that there aren't 32 great quarterbacks. And that's true from a week-to-week winning games perspective. From a fantasy perspective, there's a ton of valuable quarterbacks because you're just talking about completing passes and getting volume. And Nick Foles is not fantasy relevant, I don't think. He's too variable, and there's too many other options. You got to stay away from this team when it comes to the quarterback position. If you're going to go Trubisky, you're hoping he starts and that he has a scrambling renaissance. If you're going to go Foles, you got to hope that, one, he plays more than 10 games, and that, two, he becomes his Eagles postseason self. And that just hasn't really happened in the last decade other than that 1 month. So I'm out on the Bears all around. What do you got, Maddie? What are your thoughts?
You know, I'm out on the Bears too. I don't see them doing much better than they did last year. Although I do think that they're going to be, you know, slightly better, only because hopefully it's an NFL team. So they're going to hopefully learn from their mistakes. One thing that I like to hear about the Bears is that they are in win now mode. And the way that they kind of solidified that or proved that is by picking up Nick Foles, or, you know, and so at least they're trying. I still think that Mitch Trubisky needs to be their starter because he's shown flashes of brilliance, whether you like to think it or not, maybe not brilliance, but a flat, let's just say flashes. I mean, 2018, look what he did. I mean, the guy threw over 3,000, whatever. He threw 24 touchdowns with 12 interceptions. So he's not been great. But what he did differently in 2018 was something that he got away from in 2019, which was using his legs. The guy, even though he's a pretty big dude, can run. And so he did a lot of that in 2018. And I'm trying to look up here. But anyway, I think that if he gets back to that the same ways that he was doing in 18, that they could come back and do a little bit better. That's all I'm going to say about their team and what I think is going to happen next year. But as far as like starting quarterbacks go, and with Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky, I think that they would be better off with Mitch Trubisky and then failing with Mitch Trubisky and going with Foles rather than, because I think that, I think he has a higher ceiling than Foles. And I think he has a higher floor too. I think that Foles could just be a complete debacle going around. Like you said, he's with the Rams, did nothing. He had some brilliance, whatever in Philly, but, and now he's with the Bears. So it's like, hey, musical teams here, Nick, which one are you going to pick?
That goes back to your fantasy split though, right? Like I agree with you, Matt, that Trubisky has a higher floor when it comes to fantasy because of his legs. But when it comes to winning, I don't know where his floor is. Like his floor could be the Matt Schaub six pick sixes in 3 weeks, you know? Like I just have no idea with these quarterbacks. Their floors are really low.
Yeah. And we've talked about Mitch Trubisky before, and I'm definitely higher on him than you are. In fact, I have him as my sleeper, and I was in the same predicament here. You know, you and I with these four teams are all actually 32 teams. We're trying to come up with some studs on each team and some sleepers. And I'm sitting here going, it's the Bears.
Don't do it. Just
I'm saying like, look what I'm saying right now. I wrote down as their sleeper, the possibility of as their starting quarterback. Like that is not a good thing, dude.
Their starting quarterback who they picked before Deshaun Watson. Just to pour some salt in the Bears wounds, Bears fans out there. Sorry, buddies.
Shitty teams, So no more duh Bears. You know, they duh suck. I don't know. For all the reasons that I've already stated, and I'm not going to repeat myself, that's why I'm high on Mitch Trubisky.
So he's your sleeper? Who's your stud?
Yeah. I have Anthony Miller as my stud.
Dude. Okay. All right.
I mean, I'm choosing Miller. You know, they need Miller to be a breakout candidate. And this is my opinion, in order for the Bears to make a run at a Super Bowl, as crazy as that sounds, whatever, a lot of people listening might be rolling their eyes thinking that's an oxymoron, Bears and a Super Bowl run. But in order for them to make it back to the playoffs that they just did 2 years ago and make a Super Bowl run, I think that Anthony Miller needs to have a breakout season. It's a third-year receiver. We've said that before. So this is kind of a make or replace year for him. I think Trubisky can do well this year using his legs, open them up. Anthony Miller is a playmaker and for the Bears, right? I mean, he's not an elite wide receiver by any means. But with Trubisky doing well this year, I think that Miller and Trubisky can help the Bears. But the good thing is that Trubisky, hopefully Trubisky starts, because I just don't think that he already has kind of a little bit of a relationship with Miller. And so if they can kind of extend off that, I think that they could do really well. But if Foles starts, then I think they have absolutely no chance. And I would even, if Foles starts, I'd almost go under whatever they have in Vegas. I think they have 8 or 9 games, right?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think that you're a little high on the Bears just generally. I don't even think they're decent. I don't think they have a shot at sniffing the playoffs. I think if you have two quarterbacks, that means you have no quarterbacks. You're correct. Vegas has them at 8 wins. I think that's way high. This is one of my bets of the year, folks. Like, you should be betting the Bears under. Like, they don't know who's going to throw the ball for them. The dude that they drafted above Deshaun Watson is like, has become almost memeable with how like poor he's been. Like, the dude is borderline bust. I mean, I agree with you, Matt. They should probably start him just because they invested so heavily in him a few years ago.
Absolutely.
But I don't think it's going to go well, which means they're going to dig a hole. They're going to dig a hole in a division that has the Vikings and the Packers in it, which we both just said are excellent teams that are built well on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
So unless like Aaron Rodgers breaks his leg or something, like I don't even see where the Bears sniff daylight here. I guess they can beat up on the Lions. I mean, that's a good year for the Bears would be beating the Lions twice at this point. And I think 8 wins is fantasy land. Like, I don't know. I don't see it. I think it's 8 wins is really high. I want to get my action on that now while it stays high before playoff or preseason games start and it begins dropping because of the chaos. Get it in now. Lock it in. If you're gambling on NFL futures, this is the one to gamble on. Like, Vegas is giving you a big window, man. Like, they could end up having a great season and going 7-9. You still win on that under. Like, 8 wins is a lot for a team that doesn't have a quarterback.
Yeah. And I've said it before in this podcast that I am definitely out on, you know, QB competitions. I think that anytime that you kind of put two guys up against each other, it's always
that means you don't have
a backfire.
One, yeah. To go to my stud though, my stud is going to be David Montgomery, and I wrote him down with a question mark because I don't really have a ton of faith in him either.
I like the inflection in your voice. like you wanted us all to know that it was a question.
I do. I don't want anyone taking that pick to the bank. The only thing about the Bears I want you to take to the bank, the only thing I want you to put your money on with me is that under. Because that under is going to be solid. I don't know if they're going to be covering bets this year. I don't know if they're going to be close games or not. I just know they're not going to win a lot. So the NFC North has a really rough schedule just generally across the board. And their schedule is not kind. They weren't great last year. I don't think they got much better. The one area where they might have gotten better, though, is at running back. Because David Montgomery showed some flashes last year that he can be a workhorse back. He's going into his second year. Last year, he had 6 touchdowns and 6 rushing touchdowns, 1 receiving touchdown, only 2 fumbles on the year. That's pretty good for a rookie. If he can take a step forward, and I'm imagining quarterbacks who can't play, if I'm the coach of 2 quarterbacks who can't play and my best wide receiver is Anthony Miller, then I'm probably handing the ball off a lot to this young back who's itching for touches. And yeah, if he stays healthy, that's the only guy on this team who's really going to get the volume to keep you relevant fantasy-wise. So although the Bears aren't going to win much, you might want to pick up David Montgomery. And if Montgomery's off the board, then you should just cross the Bears off your board too. Look elsewhere.
Yep. No, that's a great point. That's absolutely a great point. They could be running a lot. And he had, like you said, he had a great season last year. I mean, he had almost 900 yards on the ground. So that's nothing to scoff at, especially for a rookie. And if he can, build off that, who knows what he could do. So that'd be kind of cool. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not as down as you are. So that those 8 wins from Vegas look a little bit closer in my eyes than they do for yours. Although I know you're very rarely wrong. So
yeah, well, you never know. You give me too much credit.
Yeah,
I have them at 4-12. I got them at 4-12 when I look at it. I don't think 8 is close. I think it could easily be less than 4 as well. But even if I'm wrong and they're off by 2-3 games, I still win. So my schedule watch is don't watch. That's what I put down. Don't watch.
That's kind of what I have too. That's exactly what I have too.
Save yourself some time and watch Tom Brady instead. Do anything else but watch the Bears.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, just so it's on record, I actually wrote down, I think I'd like to buy the half point and bring it to 7.5 wins. And I show them winning 8 games. So I think they go 8-8 again. And I'll take a hit in the odds. So I'll just pay a little more. How about that?
Oh yeah. I think you should. I think that's a great idea. If you've got them at that, I mean, I just personally think the under is a really good bet already. But teach the folks out there how you buy that half point. How does that work?
Well, you pay more odds. So if you're going to get -110 at 8-8 season, and I want it at 7.5 for the over under, then I'm probably going to end up, I don't even know what the odds are, but I'll probably end up paying about, -165. So $165 I have to pay $165 to win 100. And so, but you know, that brings me down. And so that, an 8-8 win or win season for the Bears, doesn't kill me. So it doesn't, null my bet.
And for all you out there, Matt and I will be, constantly during the season, anytime there's a 3-point spread or a 7-point spread, we'll be encouraging you to buy the hook because if you have, and it's what he's really talking about with the wins here, the win totals here, if it's a 7-point game and it ends 7, that's a push. If you buy the hook, either way, 7.5 or 6.5, now all of a sudden that 7-point difference wins or loses for you, which is worth taking a hit in the odds often. Not always, but often.
Every day of the week. And we're going to have John on here again, and he's a huge advocate of buying the hook. The guy will buy the hook every time. If it's 7.5, he buys the hook, he'll be at 7. And so that's kind of his deal. And I've kind of learned that from him. So, he wins more than he loses on that aspect, I should say, not overall probably, but, with the hook and that idea of, buying some points down. So very cool. So that's the Chicago Bears, and we don't have super high hopes. I have a little bit higher hopes than you do. So it'll be fun to watch. And I hope we're writing all this down so we can remember, how stupid we look at the end of the season. But, moving on. We have one more team here, and it just so happens to be the Detroit Lions. So we thought that talking about the Chicago Bears was going to be hard. Now we have to go to Matt Patricia's Detroit Lions. But can he turn this team around somehow? You know, the people talk about the coaches that come from Belichick not doing so well as head coaches. But Matt Patricia being one of them. Teams that have coaches that come from Belichick typically don't do very well for whatever reason. It's weird. So, but can Matt Patricia turn this team around? Can he make the offensive line produce so that Kerryon Johnson and their newly acquired DeAndre Swift, can they could be super effective in the running game and allow Matt Stafford to kick some ass, produce on offense and help them win games? That's a question that I have. Maybe he can, maybe not. But we've said it from the beginning, shitty franchises are shitty franchises. And man, they've got Matt Stafford there who has so much potential. And the poor guy, and you're probably going to agree with me, I think that you agree with me on this, is you put Matt Stafford with a better coach and a better franchise, and the guy could be a freaking, you know, Hall of Famer, possibly. I really believe that Matt has a lot of potential, and he is a really good quarterback, but I don't think he's won a playoff game yet. And so that for me is just, that's tough to look at. But going forward, Detroit Lions, they're going to be poop. They don't win very many games this year. I'm not going to be excited to watch them. I'm more excited to watch other shitty teams, rather than the Detroit Lions. But you know, I thought Patricia did well in New England as their defensive coordinator, and now it's just not translating. But you know, they're rebuilding, so who knows what happens? They've got a new running back with DeAndre Swift, and see what they can do with that. What's your outlook on the Detroit Lions?
Oh man, you should see my notes here. I should post a picture to Instagram. It is such a mess. Like, of all the teams I took notes for to get ready for this pod, I have like things crossed out. I have things circled. I have arrows going this way. I said I have no. At first, I said I had no stud. I said I guess Kenny Golladay, and then I crossed that out and I said this team's just terrible. For the week four, I'm going to start with schedule on this one. I'm sorry, not week four. For question four, what's the schedule we want to hit? I put week five at the Jags, and here's why. You brought up Matt Patricia. I think if they lose week five at the Jaguars, look out for Matt Patricia to be fired. And then I started getting all excited. I'm like, oh, this is my take. First coach fired. I'm going to give this out as a great take because this dude's terrible. I mean, this is the dude who the internet was all over last year for having a pencil in his ear, but then he's got laminated play calling sheets. Like, what are you doing with a pencil on laminated paper? That doesn't write on that. Like,
Are we sure it was a pencil and it wasn't like a Sharpie?
It was a pencil, my friend. He had a pencil and he had no way of using it. The dude's a moron. He's not a good coach.
We both played sports. We know how much like superstition and just having that pencil in his ear is probably just so satisfying to him. That's probably why.
The Lions rack up losses and then get high draft picks. That's what he's going for, that superstition. He's a moron. He's not good. It's a bad franchise. I like the Lions generally, just like as like a childhood team that I rooted for. But they're terrible. Like, they're terrible this year. They're terrible most years. They might be another 0-16 team. I hate to say it, guys. I got them at 3-13, which is an under 6.5. But Jesus, like, they're the only team in history to go 0-16 back in 2008. And I think in week five, if they lose to the Jaguars and they're 0-5 at that point, I think their coach gets fired first. And like I said, I was all pumped to give that one out. Turns out he's the favorite to be fired first. So I'm not the only person who thinking that. Vegas has him at plus 300. And I wrote down, shit, I can't even give that out as good value, because Matt Patricia probably is getting fired because the Lions are terrible and it starts with their coach. And if they become the first team ever to go 0-16 after they were already the first team ever to go 0-16, then they're the only team ever to go 0-16 twice, which is just outrageous. But it's kind of in play. Like, Matt Stafford, I feel terrible for, but he's one injury or one nightmarish season away from being a footnote in history. Like, this dude had tons of talent and he's nobody.
Yeah, when you jack up your back like that, that's no good. You know, that's going to carry with you. I mean, unless you're crazy like Peyton Manning and break your neck and then come back and win a Super Bowl. But Yeah, dude. 0-16, dude. Woo! And a fired coach. That's some bold statement right there. If you could parlay that, I wonder what you could get.
I don't know. I mean, 0-16 never happened. So I'm not telling people to bet on that. I'm just saying it's possible.
Yeah.
If week five hits and they lose to those Jaguars and they're 0-5, then I want you to seriously consider putting some futures on 0-16 if possible still. Because I just look at that schedule and it's a beast. It's a monster. But here's the thing. The difference between the Bears and the Lions for me when it comes to watchability, Matt, is the Bears are just bad and they're never fun to watch, and those quarterbacks aren't going to be fun. And at least the Lions are going to be fun. Like, what the Lions are going to do is they're going to find ways to lose in the most torturous fashion. They're going to lose games they should win. They're going to get blown out here and there, but then they're going to be winning games in the fourth quarter and find like meltdowns. There's going to be pick sixes. There's going to be fumbles on punt returns. Like, the Lions are just an absolute mess. I'm going to wrap up, and I know I went fast on the Lions here, but I'm going to wrap up with my fantasy advice for everybody. For sleepers, I have none. This team is bad. Please don't look for a sleeper on this team, because you're not going to find him. And if you do, it's pure luck, and nobody can act like they knew that this sleeper was coming. So I call bullshit. So avoid it. Maybe in week three on the waiver wire, someone is popping and getting some volume that's like that we don't know about, and you need a wide receiver who's getting volume. Then we'll do that in week three. We'll do that on the waiver wire. Don't do it in your draft. For a stud, I've got DeAndre Swift, who already mentioned out of Georgia. He's a rookie running back who is an absolute beast. He has an easy running back schedule based on last year's numbers, of course. He's 5'9", 215 pounds. He looks like he's ready to go, and I think they're going to have to roll him out because there isn't much talent on that offense. So I would pick him as my stud purely because of volume. The next backs up after him, like Kerryon Johnson, like, I just don't think they're going to be trusting those guys that much after what they've shown on the NFL field. And I think this guy is going to show some talent, which means by week three or four, they're probably going to be giving him 20, 25 carries or touches a game. And I'll take that volume all day long. So there is some fantasy value on this team, and the value is in their rookie running back, DeAndre Swift. But outside of that, you're throwing darts at the wall if you're hoping Stafford has someone to throw to. The receivers are a mess. I wouldn't come within a 10-foot pole of them. And then, I think there's a lot of losses here.
Stud, I said, and I quote, "I'm going to cop out. Sorry, I tap out." That's what I wrote. I said, couldn't I even go do with it, huh? Stafford, but coming off a back injury and his 32-year-old season, I'm really just not optimistic. And mostly, too, because it's like there comes a point in a player where you just can't keep your motivation. You know, when your whole team sucks and your coach is trying to do everything he can but can't make it work, he's going to get down. I think he's going to throw more interceptions this year and blah, blah, blah. Sleeper, I went with DeAndre Swift. And only because, you know, if Kerryon Johnson continues his injured ways, I think that Swift can really have a stellar year. But, I mean, that's like, I mean, I'm not taking this guy, trust me, I'm not taking this guy in the third or fourth round. I mean, maybe at the best, maybe the eighth round, you might get some value out of this guy. And, you know, I shouldn't be telling you this because we play against each other, but man, if I see that guy in the 10th round and he's still available, I'm taking him. I don't think he will be because his ADP is showing better than that, but that would be some stellar value for DeAndre Swift if he makes it between 8 and 10 in the rounds, especially for us, Alex, because we play keepers. And so I would definitely have him in the 8th, you know, for the next year after he pops off this year, possibly.
Yeah, most people don't do keepers the way we do. We have a very adjusted keepers where we do 10th round and later. But for all of you guys that are out there in keeper leagues, I would definitely look towards Swift. Like, this team is going to put some stuff around him in the next few years. Like, just, I mean, blind squirrels find nuts, right? And the dude has talent. So I would grab him any round, maybe probably 4 through 7, wherever his average draft position is. Like, forget the ADP on him. Like, if you can grab him and you're in a keeper league, go ahead and grab him and stash him. You know what I mean? Because, like, he's probably going to finish the year as the starting running back this year. And even if he doesn't, by next year he will be. So I definitely think keeper.
Unfortunately, Alex, it is the Lions. So, like, what is his real ceiling? You know what I mean? And so you're taking a guy in the 7th round, a running back in the 7th round, and you could be getting better value out there, I think, in that same realm.
Maybe, but at that point in the draft, Matt, most of the running backs who are not RB by committee will be swallowed up by then. And I think this guy has a higher ceiling than running back by committee just simply because they're going to hand him the ball because there's no damn committee there. Do you know what I mean? Like, and maybe not this year, maybe we're talking a year down the road, but that's why I said for keepers, like he eventually, I think from looking at the dude's highlights out of Georgia, I think he has the talent within the next year or two to be a three down back. And if he's going to be a three down back, or not even a three down back, just a workhorse, just a lead back. As far as lead backs go, it's hard to get them after the seventh round. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're not getting very many lead backs that late. You're usually getting a handcuff, or you're usually getting a third down back or a pass catching back, you know? So I don't know. I think you're right. I think you have a good take there. He could be a sleeper. If he drops in your draft, go ahead and swoop him up, especially if you have keepers. I have him as my stud, so I'd take him a little earlier. I would take him in round 6-7 after the stars are gone, because I think by the second half of the season, you're going to have him as you're sitting on your bench, but then all of a sudden he's going to be an RB2. And I think that he's going to be a pretty safe RB2. So if you can get him in round 5, 6, 7, I think that's good enough for me, just because he's going to get that volume.
Damn it. So you're telling me that in our hoof-hearted league, I won't be able to get him in the 10th round?
Not if I have any say.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, again, I'm giving too much fantasy advice out there, but I think if you can get a back who by the fantasy playoffs in week 13, 14, 15, in that range, if by the end of the season you're going to get a player who's going to be getting volume then, there's no reason not to stash him now, because fantasy's never decided in September anyway. You know what I mean? Like I can be 0-3 in fantasy. In the NFL, 0-3 is a death sentence. In fantasy football, 0-3 is inconvenient. You know what I mean? Like, right. It's inconvenient. It's not a death sentence.
It equals good free agency
pick. Yeah, it equals a bunch of waiver wire and then a late run at that right. 8 seed, and then you grab the 8 seed and you win in the freaking playoffs. So it's very anti-NFL in that sense when it comes to fantasy week 1, 2, 3. So I'm not worried about fantasy week 1, 2, 3. I look at the guy who is he going to get volume later in the year, and I think this dude is going to get a ton of volume later in the year, so I want him on my roster.
Cool. Yep, absolutely. No, that's a good point. And look for people, if you don't get him in your draft, look for people to drop him, you know, and look out for him, because like Alex said, it could happen. You know, if Kerryon Johnson's getting a large share, there's a good chance he could go down and use him as a handcuff. So just to round this out, I'm going under 6.5. I don't have what I think they're going to go overall in front of me, but I just don't think that they're going to do well again. They had 3 wins last year. I don't think that they back that up with very much more, if any. And so I know that you're probably going under 2. And so that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I got them at 3-13, man. You can piggyback with me if you want with that 3 call, because I think it's pretty safe. I think 4 is probably their ceiling when I look at these matchups week by week. I just don't think they have the talent on the field, and they don't have a coach who can put that talent together. Now, I mean, the one way that I would eat crow is, let's say the Vikings or the Packers, one of the two, just absolutely get injuries, or they just implode, right? And they're just not the team that we thought they were. And the Bears are who we think they are. Then all of a sudden, the Lions with Matt Stafford and this rookie running back who takes a step forward, right, and becomes like some beast. Like, who knows? I mean, maybe his ceiling's higher than we're imagining it is. And maybe the Lions get smart and they just hand the ball off and grind out some wins. Like, I can see a world in which they're better than we're saying. I just don't see it on paper. So on paper, I have them at 3-13 as an under, but they're not as much of a lock as an under as the Bears at 8 for me. So for me, the money's on the Bears at 8. That's way too high. The Lions to get over 6.5 could happen with just a little bit of improved strategy from Matt Patricia and the rookie being a little better than we thought. Like, they do have, like you said, a really talented quarterback. If this running back comes in talented, that's all you need to get to 8-9 wins. Again, I'm not predicting that. I just wouldn't be shocked. I think their window is pretty large. They could be an 0-16 team, like I mentioned, and they could be a 7-9 team. You know what I mean? Who's frisky halfway through the season. But I think I'm more leaning toward the under end here. I've got them at 3 solid wins. And even if they improve that by a win or two because Stafford's great, then I still got under 6.5.
Sweet. Awesome. Very cool. That's the NFC North. You heard it here on the Matt and Alex Show. We did the Vikings, the Packers, the Bears, and the Lions. Those are our takes. Let us know what you think. Follow us on Instagram, Matt and Alex Show. Send us an email at alexandmattpodcast@gmail.com. We're still having fun. I hope you guys all had a very nice and safe and happy and joyous and party-filled 4th of July weekend. But mostly, I hope that you all stayed safe And so we have some fun stuff coming up here on the Matt and Alex Show. So stay tuned and follow us wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. All right. From me, be good, be safe.